Hello and welcome to this video tutorial brought to you by Tutvid.com. We're going to take a look at ActionScript 3.0 and buttons. We are going to use our buttons to change the way our buttons appear on stage, and we're going to set up our buttons to navigate to a different place in our timeline, and we'll also figure out how to use buttons to link to a website, some URL. It could be within your website or a URL somewhere out there on the web other than your website. So let's take a look at doing that. Now, if you remember using ActionScript 2.0, or if you're familiar with ActionScript 2.0, you probably remember that in order to apply some sort of action to a button, you had to select the button, grab your actions panel, and type actions into here, something like on release, and then whatever you wanted the action to execute, whatever you wanted to happen. Well, notice here in ActionScript 3.0, and I am using ActionScript 3.0, we can change our ActionScript version by selecting Publish Settings, and under this Flash tab, ActionScript version, I have it set to 3.0. Okay, now ActionScript 3.0 is only available to Flash CS3, but as I was saying, when you select a button here in Flash CS3 using ActionScript 3.0, bring up the Actions palette, and no longer can you apply actions. You can see here that the Actions palette tells us current selection cannot have actions applied to it. So there must be an alternative way of getting around this and being able to use our buttons. Well, there is. What we have to do is use something called an event listener. And the way an event listener works is basically you attach it to a button that, or it can be a movie clip, it can be a movie clip or a button, that you want to listen for something to happen. And in this case, we're going to listen for a mouse click on that movie clip or that button. And when Flash hears that mouse click, it is going to execute a function. Okay? And now, if that didn't completely make sense, you're going to really understand in just a minute when we actually start scripting. So, let's start scripting. We need to give our buttons, these all three are separate buttons, not movie clips. You can use movie clips, as I mentioned a second ago, but these are buttons. We need to give them instance names, so I'm just going to call this one capital R underscore BTN. And I will call this capital G underscore BTN, and this capital B underscore BTN. So there we go. All three of our buttons all have separate instance names, and they're all fairly easy to remember. So we're going to start with this R button here, and we are going to take a look at using ActionScript to edit the properties of that button. So here I'm going to select my ActionScript layer. I've got a blank keyframe there. I'm going to hit F9, which will bring up my actions palette. If you have changed your hotkey, you can go Window, Actions. And the first thing we need to do is import our mouse event events. So we need to type the word import space flash.events.M mouse event and then a semicolon. Now that line of code is just telling Flash to import all of the mouse event events. And you're going to see exactly how we're going to use them in just a second. I am going to comment out this line here. I'm just going to put two forward slashes and then three dashes, and I'm going to say R button property change. And then three more dashes and two slashes on the other side. And this, you don't have to do this. This is just my own personal preference, just to help keep myself a little more organized here as we write our code. So the code that's underneath this little bar we created is going to be the R button property changes. And I spelled property wrong. There we go. R button property change. Alright, so the first thing we need to do is set up our event listener. So if you recall correctly, our R button here has an instance name of R underscore BTN. Select that keyframe there, the ActionScript keyframe, and we are going to write R underscore BTN dot add, and you can see we've got a little tooltip pop up here, and there's add event listener. Just click on that, and now we need to tell Flash, what kind of event listener, and this is a mouse event, it's mouse with a capital M, an event with a capital E, dot click, in all caps, and then type a comma, and now we need to type the name of the function that we want to execute when our button here hears a click. And we want that to just be R click. Okay, that's a lowercase r and click with a capital C. That word can be anything you want. It's just to be a unique name. It's the name of the function. And then place a semicolon at the end of that. So let's write that function now. So first thing we need to do is type function space. Now the name of the function, r click. Okay, so you see the name of the function right here. It's the same name as the function we're calling here in our add event listener line. And this is an event, and specifically it is a mouse event. Now we need to put that little line of code there, otherwise we'll get an error. It is not returning any data, so the data type will be void there at the end. Open curly bracket, enter return twice, close curly bracket, up arrow key. And now for this function, we're just going to say r underscore btn dot alpha. In Flash, or ActionScript 3.0, excuse me, you don't have to write underscore alpha, it's just alpha. And then we're going to say minus equals 0.1, semicolon. Now, this is another thing that has changed in ActionScript 3.0, I will just point out real quick. You no longer have a scale of 1 to 100 when it comes to editing alpha and other properties to go from 1 to 100, or 0 to 100 in Flash. You have to edit them on a scale of 0.0 being 0 and 1. So what this is saying is every time R button is clicked, I want you to decrease the alpha by 10%. Okay, I could write 0.25 and that would be decreasing the alpha by a quarter each time. If I wanted to take the alpha down by 100, I would just type 1. But I only want to take it down by 10%, so I'm just going to write 0.1. And let's just check our script, and it contains no errors. So I'm going to close my actions palette, and I'm just going to test the movie here. And I'm going to roll over the R button, and when I click it, it loses 10% alpha, and I can keep clicking it, and it's going to keep losing 10% alpha until it's completely gone. All right, I'm going to close the file. And let's just set up a quick action to make it restore to 100% alpha. So what we need to do now is create another event listener. So I'm going to select that entire line, Command or Control C, or just right-click and hit Copy. Select at the end, hit Enter or Return once, right-click and hit Paste. And this time we're going to change the mouse event from click to mouse underscore out. So when the mouse rolls out or rolls off of our button, we want it to perform the function of R, let's just say out. It's out with a capital O. So now we have this new event listener. Let's create a new function. I'm going to select the entire function, right-click, hit Copy, hit Enter, or return once, and paste that new function. It's Command or Control V. And now we're just going to change the name from rClick to R, capital O, out. Okay, so rOut is the name of our function. rOut is the name of our function. It is still a mouse event. We're not returning any data, so we're just going to set that to void. And now we're going to say R button alpha equals space 1 semicolon. So when you roll out, we just want the alpha of R button to equal 1 or 100. So I'm going to hit F9. I'm going to save my file, and I'm going to go control, test movie. Okay, I'm rolling over R button, and I'm clicking, clicking, clicking. When I roll out, it returns to 100% opacity, or alpha, as it's referred to, here in Flash. So that's how you edit the properties of a movie clip, and that's the real basics of changing a button. Let's take a look at navigating your timeline using a button. Hit Enter Return a few times, and we're going to set up a new little partition here for our code. I'm going to say G button timeline change, and then three more dashes and a couple more slashes. Now for this, we just need to add an event listener listening for our button click and tell it to go to that frame of the timeline. Now, we don't really have another frame of the timeline to go to, so let's set that up real quick. Close my actions palette, and I'm just going to select out here on frame 50, drag down, selecting all four layers, and I'm going to right-click and hit Insert Keyframe. So here we go. We've got 50 frames now. I'm going to create a new layer, and I'm just going to name that layer Jargon. And out here on frame 50, I'm going to right-click and hit Insert Keyframe. So we've got a keyframe out there, and I'm just going to grab my brush tool, and I'm just going to paint two lines, one line at the top and one line across the bottom here. So over here at frame 1, we have nothing. Over here on frame 50, we have these lines. Now, there's a couple things we need to do. Number one, we need to give our keyframe out here on frame 50 a frame label. So I'm up here on the action script layer. I'm on that keyframe. I'm going to come down to my properties panel, and here in the frame label section, I'm just going to type get jargon, and that's jargon with a capital J. So it's get jargon, and that's our frame label. Now I need to come back to frame 1 on my action script layer. I'm going to hit F9 to open my actions palette again, and at the very top here, I'm going to hit enter return once, and up on line 1, I'm just going to place a stop action. That's stop, open close parenthesis, and semicolon, and that's just going to stop the movie at frame 1, so it will not automatically play down to frame 50 where we see our two lines. All right, now to get down to frame 50, we need to add another event listener. Now, notice I don't have to re-import all of my mouse events. I just keep them, and you only have to use this import once per keyframe you set up these actions on. So if I were to go and set this action up on frame 2 instead of frame 1, I would have to re-import my mouse events. But because I'm still on the same keyframe, I don't have to worry about it. So we can just come right into here and hit G underscore button dot add event listener, and we are listening for a mouse event of click. And when we hear that mouse event, we want you to play or execute the function called gclick. Close that parenthesis, put a semicolon at the end. Let's write that gclick function. Type function space gclick. Okay, that's the name once again. And again, we have to specify that it is an event, and specifically it is a mouse event. We're not returning any data, so we're typing void there, excuse me. Open curly bracket, enter return twice, closed curly bracket, up arrow. And inside of here, I'm just going to type go to and stop, open parenthesis, open quote, get jargon, that's jargon with a capital J, close quote, close parenthesis, close parenthesis, semicolon. Now, when we click on G button, it will move us over to the frame label, get jargon. Let's just test it real quick and see what happens. Control, test movie. And when I click on the G button, you can see those two lines appear. The problem is they don't go away. So let's quickly copy this event listener. Hit enter, return once to paste it down to the next line here. And then we're going to say mouse event, mouse underscore out. It's all in caps again. And we're going to call this function gout, just like we did with the other one. And we're going to copy this function, select that function, copy it, hit enter or return once, then hit command or control V to paste that function. So we just pasted this function right here. We're going to change gclick to gout, so with a capital O. The event is a mouse event, it's not returning any data. And we're going to say go to and stop 1. It's just frame 1. So let's save this, hit command return or control enter, excuse me, and that will preview the movie. I'm going to click G, and there our lines are. When I roll out, you can see that they disappear. Click, when I roll out, they disappear. Wonderful. So that is how you navigate a timeline using ActionScript 3.0 right here, this bit of code. The last thing we're going to take a look at doing is going to a website, using our flash file to link to a website, some site out there on the web. So I'm going to partition off another section here. As I mentioned before, this is strictly personal preference. B button, and we'll say get a URL. You don't have to use this commenting method to divide your code up. I'm just doing that to make things simpler for me, so I know that right here, this is all of my G button timeline code, and down here, this is all of my R button code. Let's come back up to the B button code, and we need to set up a variable first. So let's set this variable up outside of this B button code. If you recall using ActionScript 2.0, you used a method called getURL to get a URL. Very simple, straightforward, and pretty easy to deal with. Well, things have changed a little bit here in ActionScript 3.0, and there's a slightly different way of getting that. You have to use, or you have to call a data type called URLRequest. And we're going to use a variable to store the URL we're requesting. Okay, and then later on we need to use a navigate to URL command to utilize that URL and actually go to it. It'll all become clear in just a minute. Just follow what I'm about to do. Here's what we need to do. First thing we need to do is create a new variable. So type the word var, space, and then give the variable a name. We're going to say get tutvid because that's the website we're going to get. And it is a URL request data type. So that's URL in all caps and then a capital R for request. And then we're going to say space equals space new URL request. So we just created a new instance of the URL request class, and the URL request that, or the URL that we're requesting is going to be placed here in parentheses, and because it's this URL we need to put it in quotes. So we're going to say HTTP colon /// www.tutvid.com, close quotes, close parentheses, semicolon. So what we just did was we created a new variable called getTutvid. That variable is a URL request, and that variable equals a new instance of the URL request class, and the URL we are requesting is HTTP www.tutvid.com. So that's the variable. Let's come down here into our get a URL coding area, and let's add an event listener, to B button, B_BTN dot add event listener. And this again is a mouse event, and it is a click. And when we hear the click, we want this to execute the function called B click. So it's just lowercase b, capital C for click, and then place a semicolon at the end of that. Hit enter or return a couple times. Now, we need to create a function. So let's say function, and this is called bClick. And again, it is an event, and it is a mouse event. We are not returning any data, so we type colon void, open curly bracket, close curly bracket, and then up arrow key. Or that's open curly bracket, enter or return twice, then up arrow key. So here now we set our function, and all we need to say is navigate to with a capital T, URL all in caps, and then open parenthesis, and here we simply refer to our variable name, which is getTutvid. Close those parentheses, add a semicolon to the end, and that's it. So what we just did was created this variable, as I explained a moment ago, added our event listener, which is a mouse click, and when Flash hears that mouse click, it's going to execute this function called bClick. And that function bClick is this navigate to URL, and the URL we're navigating to is this variable, getTutvid. Alright, so let's close the actions frame here. Let's save our Flash movie, and we're going to hit Command Return or Control Enter to preview the movie. And here we go. Let's see, I can click on R and we have our decreasing alpha. Click on G, our jargon shows up. And when I click on B, up pops the website. So it's as easy as that. You can set up your buttons to navigate to a URL. You can set them up to navigate to a specific place in your timeline. And you can also set up buttons to edit the property of itself. Or you can even change that instance name to edit the property of a different movie clip. For instance, if I come down to the R button property change, I could say in this function here of R click, we could change the alpha of G button and then make the alpha of G button go back to 1 when we roll out. Let's check out and see what happens here. When I click on R, you can see now G button is reduced to nothing, and when I roll out, it comes back. So there's all kinds of neat things you can do. And that's really how you deal with buttons here in ActionScript 3.0 and Flash CS3. Different ways of dealing with all three different things that you may want to do here with your Flash file. So that's it for this one. I certainly hope you learned something, and I hope this clarifies some of the issues some of you have been having with Flash CS3 and more specifically ActionScript 3.0. Please go check out the site. That's www.tutvid.com, and thank you very much for watching.